Just going to spend a few moments this evening looking at the passage in Galatians. Paul writes to the Galatians about the Spirit of God, and he tells us to walk in the Spirit, he tells us to live in the Spirit, he tells us all sorts of things about the Spirit in chapter 5. We're not going to read all the chapter, but here he says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in this single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking or envying each other. Walking by the Spirit. That verse 16 that we read, which actually said live by the Spirit, that's our little nugget for this evening. Our golden nugget. You remember we said God surrounds his people. We are his peculiar people, his special people. We're like a dot in a circle surrounded by God. And sometimes, as some of us were thinking about the other Sunday morning, sometimes God removes the hedge from around us for things to happen to us. But he's always there with us. And so God sort of controls and cares for that sort of surrounding grace that we have around our lives if we love him and we walk in his grace. But what goes on inside? That's what Paul is concerned about here. He's concerned about the warfare, the conflict that goes on within us, not the things that come from outside of us. God's sorting those things out. But we have a tremendous responsibility to sort out the things that we think and that goes on in our hearts and that we do. There's a civil war going on, says Paul. I don't know whether you've ever done any studies on the First World War. You remember how the trenches were dug. Horrendous war. But the lines of trenches were drawn up. The European and British trenches here, the German trenches over there, and they would throw things, they'd gain a few yards, and they'd go back to the trenches. The lines were drawn. And Paul says, the lines are drawn here between good and evil. There's the spiritual nature and the sinful nature. There's the spirit and the flesh. There's our higher side of our nature and the lower side of our nature. There's what J.B. Phillips calls what we were by our new birth against what we were by our natural birth. And this war is going on inside us. And Paul is talking about it in this chapter. And the first thing he says to cope with this war, to cope with it, in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, we are to be careful that how you live then. Wait a minute, let's get the right book. I'm in Ephesians here. He says, So by the Spirit you will not gratify the sins of the flesh if you live by the Spirit. And it's that little word live. It's translated differently in all sorts of Bibles. Sometimes it's translated walk by the Spirit. In the Living Bible it says always obey the voice of the Spirit. In the Message it says, my counsel to you is to live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. And so the picture is of a journey. The picture is of going through life and all the aspects of life. Walking, yes. Living, yes. Going about. The word actually is peripatio, from which we get our word peripatetic. Those teachers that go round and teach in different places. Music teachers, do they still have peripatetic music teachers? Yeah, going round schools and colleges. And so it's going round. And in every place, here, there and everywhere, the Spirit is to have influence and domination in our lives, says Paul. The whole of our activities, of our individual lives, is to be controlled by the Spirit. Work and operate in the sphere of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. And so later on in verse 18 he says, be led by the Spirit. In verse 25 he says, keep in step with the Spirit and live by the Spirit. It's more than just leading. It's more than just leading. The call is to Spirit living, not Spirit leading. And it's like someone leads you. Someone can lead you and take you somewhere. But if, like for instance, going up Everest and you have a Sherpa, the Sherpa helps carry, the Sherpa knows the way, the Sherpa says, walk in my footsteps, and the Sherpa gets to the top with you. Very often, if you're taking someone to somewhere, you will lead them a certain way, and you go down to a particular point and say, there it is, there, off you go. It's not like that. It's God is with us in every area, controlling, influencing the journey on which we're on. The second thing I think Paul says here is, Paul gives the reason for this spiritual living. That's the call. Here's the reason. So that we do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. Paul is talking in these verses about liberty in the Spirit. But we know how easy it is. We can relapse into the bondage of the flesh. The sinful nature can sort of seem to get hold of us again and rise up and seem to take over. And we suddenly find ourselves having desires that are undesirable as Christians. And Paul outlines them and he said, you know what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions. He makes lists, lists and lists and the like. It's not just in the sexual area. It concerns us a lot here about disunity and making a fuss and causing discord. Getting involved in dodgy practices like idolatry and witchcraft. It's putting something else in place of God in our lives. It's talking about selfishness, selfish consumerism, and maybe even gluttony. There's a whole list of things that can go under some of these headings. And Paul says we have to accept the fact that within us there's a war going on. Now, I don't think Christians are very good at accepting the fact that there is a war going on. I don't think we're honest enough, and we don't want to tell other people that sometimes we don't think the right thoughts and sometimes we don't do the right things. Of course we don't. But it does happen to us. Whether you talk about it or whether you don't, and you know it does. And Paul is saying this. And he says the enjoyment that we can have in Christian liberty depends on moving in the sphere of the Spirit and not slipping back into the area of the flesh. Where are our desires? Are all our desires in the area of the Spirit? No, of course they're not. Do we always delight ourselves in the Lord and he will give us the desires of our heart? No, of course we don't. Because we're human, saved by grace, but still we're sinners. And so the third thing Paul says, the reason that we really need to move in the Spirit is to not slip back continually into the area of the flesh. But the third thing he says is, he explains the conflict that goes on. In the Christian life, there is a conflict. There's a conflict of spirit living. In Ephesians chapter 6, he explains that there's a conflict in the heavenly. In Galatians 5, he explains there's a conflict in the humanly, down here, in our hearts. And so often that heavenly conflict between Satan and his angels and God and his angels spills over onto the earth and even to Christians. And the world, the flesh and the devil and the battle lines need to be drawn up. And it's only through the power of the Spirit of God that we can stand against our inward desires that seem to take over us from time to time. The picture is of quite a long drawn out conflict here. It's not going to be over quickly. We will fail. We will be, as Paul says in Romans 12, pressed into the world's mould. We will think the wrong thoughts. We will have selfish desires and want to do everything our own way and not love our neighbour as ourselves. But he says this, be filled with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Now I know some commentators have sort of put the fruit of the Spirit against those things of the flesh, and you can actually do that. You can say, well, you know, where you're talking about sexual immorality and purity, well, that's self-control. Yes, that's the contrary. That you can do that. You can go through. We're not going to do that, but you can do that. And Paul says, where there's things of the flesh, the Spirit then can counteract them. He says to us, take on the armor of God in Ephesians, and stand against the evil one, praying always. And the key is to keep a short account with God. You remember the story, I'm sure. It's been told thousands of times of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, sitting on a train. He was not in uniform, which was very unusual. He was reading his paper. And into the carriage opposite him, you know, the old train carriages that you go on when you go on the old railways, came and sat a young Salvation Army girl in her uniform. And he saw her fidgeting as he felt it. She saw her fidgeting just over his paper. And eventually he lowered his paper just to look at her. And she leaned across to him and said, can I ask you a question? Are you saved? And he said to her, young lady, do you mean, have I been saved? Or do you mean, am I being saved? Or do you mean, will I be saved? And she was totally flummoxed. And he explained to her that our salvation is something that, yes, we have in Christ, but it's ongoing because we still make mistakes and we still sin. But one day we will be saved and see him face to face. That's the golden nugget. It's difficult to translate, but it means walking in, living in, the whole area of our living should be in the area of the Spirit.